Hello and welcome to another episode. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to the newest patrons: Ashley Batico, Heidi, Lyle Whedon, Amy Lynn, Jess, thank you for upgrading your membership. Nolo Rising, Cecile, thank you for upgrading your membership. Dave Baxter, Christina Anderson, and Cheryl Smith, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys. Also, thank you for everyone who has ordered from the Ko-Fi store a Homunculus Owners pamphlet or an Occultus Mundi or a comic book. And also thank you to all those that have backed the Kickstarter for issue 2 of The Chosen One, The Secret Society of Pod Gods. We are currently at 2533 with 34 backers. You can go to chosenjuan.com and get your copy. We still have 27 days to go, but we are over 100% funded. Stoked about that and excited to bring the next issue after we get this one printed out. Remember, everything can be found over at tjojp.com, chosenjuan.com, or patreon.com/thejuanonjuan podcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the Juan on Juan podcast. If you're enjoying the show, consider signing up for the Patreon. There you get ad-free content, early access, exclusive episodes, and monthly supporter hangouts. You can find it at patreon.com/thejuanonjuanpodcast. If you don't like the subscription-based models, there are other ways of supporting the show that are linked in the description. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this episode.
They said it was forbidden. They said it was dangerous. They were right. Introducing the Paranoid American Homunculus Owner's Manual. Dive into the arcane, into the hidden corners of the occult. This isn't just a comic. It's a hidden tome of supernatural power. All original artwork illustrating the groundbreaking research of Juan Ayala, one of the only living homunculologists of our time. Learn how to summon your own homunculus, an enigma wrapped in the fabric of reality itself, their power at your fingertips, their existence, your secret. Explore the mysteries of the Aristotelian, the spiritual, the Paracelsian, the Crowleyan homunculus. Ancient knowledge lost to time, now unearthed in this forbidden tale. This comic book holds truths not meant for the light of day. Knowledge that was buried, feared, and shunned. Are you ready to uncover the hidden? The Paranoid American Homunculus Owner's Manual, not for the faint of heart. Available now from Paranoid American. Get your copy at tjojp.com or paranoidamerican.com today.
Welcome to the Juan on Juan podcast with your host, Juan Ayala.
Welcome back to another episode, to the 200th episode of the Juan on Juan podcast. Very special episode for me today. Never thought I'd make it this far to be 100%. There was a break in between somewhere in there. We'll break it all down. First things first. Make sure to follow the show on social media at the Juan on Juan podcast, tjojp.com. Also, very important, the Chosen Juan issue 2 Kickstarter is live now. It launched on 3/22. When I'm putting this out, this will be 3/25, but make sure to go follow that. Make sure to sign up. There's a lot of stuff on there, and please support, right? So make sure to get your copies there, and that'll be running for 30 days, I believe it is. But check it out, chosenjuan.com. And I want to thank everyone who has supported me throughout the years, the people on Patreon, the people on the YouTube members, the people who donate in other ways, buying Homunculus Owner's Manuals, all that good stuff, comic books. Really appreciate you guys' support. And yeah, here we are, 200th episode, and I figured if we have time for calls, we might do calls. I have a bunch of calls I haven't gotten to, but I wanted to talk about the show and maybe shed some light on episodes that have been neglected because they were so long ago. I started recording the show in 2019, and when I started recording the show, I started mid-2019. What I actually had done, and shout out to all the people who said yes to me when I had no episodes out, right? When I didn't have any work to show for what I was trying to build, I'd reach out to people and I'd be like, hey, you want to come on the show? And a lot of people, I get it, because sometimes I do it now because it's all about time. So back then, when I was reaching out to people and you don't have work to show them, a lot of them will say no. Because what if you podcast for 5 episodes after you did an episode with them and you give up? You stop doing your show. It's a waste of time for that person or whoever it is, how it's a waste of time for me. I've had people who have had me on their show with 11 episodes or 8 episodes, and I was that last episode or whatever the case may be, which I understand. And so, and that's the reason why I say yes to people who have either not started out yet or have a smaller following or whatever it is. Not that my following is any big, but you know, I've worked hard to get it to where it's at, and it's obviously growing every single month after month. And I'm grateful for everybody that listens to the show. It's crazy to me that people even listen to begin with. And so when I would reach out to people initially, a lot of them would say no because I didn't have anything. So shout out to those people who did that. The first interview I ever did, because when I first started, I recorded actually in a span of about 6-7 months, I recorded 52 episodes. 52 weeks in a year. So I figured 1 episode per week. And so I was recording episodes with people who, and I still do this now, that aren't out for sometimes months at a time. Right, so I recorded with this person in June. I'm like, yo, your episode's going to come out March 2020. And it's like June of 2019 or whatever it was when I started. So that could put people off as well. But I recorded an entire year and some change of podcasts before I launched. I wanted to make sure I had enough backlog to be able to... I didn't know where I wanted to go at first, right? I didn't know where, what my direction was. I'm lying. I did know where I wanted to go, but I didn't know how to execute it. And I don't know. We'll talk about it because my show's a little weird. I don't know. But my first ever interview, first ever person that I interviewed was Nick Hinton. That's episode number 2. But I actually did that one first. The first episode was on sensory deprivation. That's episode number 1. Where I had gone to my local sensory deprivation tank facility and did a float for the first time. And the guy running it was seemed like a cool guy. He did an episode with me. We talked about it for a little bit. And you can check that out, episode number 1. But my first ever interview was Nick Hinton, episode number 2, the Saturn Time Cube simulation, which is actually one of my favorite conspiracies, I guess, that you could call it. It's essentially that Saturn is the demiurge and that Kronos is the demiurge and reality is being controlled through some cymatic device on Saturn. And when I first learned about that, because obviously through the evolution of my show, my thoughts, ideas, concepts have all changed. I've come up with my own concepts. I want to learn about all different cosmologies and all different mythologies, and I want to hear from everybody because I don't think that any of us have the answer. That's just the way it is. And when people tell you that they have the answer, then how one of my previous guests just said, they're probably BSing you, right? They're probably full of themselves. It's like, oh, this is it. And you see that a lot in this realm, this space, where it's like, no, mine is right, yours is wrong, you be quiet about yours. It's like, what? No, that's not what we're about here. So that's one of my favorite conspiracies, the Saturn time period. That's episode number 2. And like I said, when I first started, I was very heavily on Gnosticism because I wasn't able to get over the fact that everything that I had been told growing up, there is the opposite of that in some other book or whatever it is. And it's like, how can you truly know that yours is the one? And that gets into the realm of faith and all these other crazy things. But when I was being told that I was going to get possessed by reading the books of Enoch and all this other craziness, bro, when you tell me something, when you tell me not to make fun of something, I'm going to make fun of it even more because you told me not to do it. So when I'm being told, yeah, don't look into that, a part of me is like, all right, well, maybe. A part of me that's still skeptical and it's like, oh, superstitious, like, oh, maybe I might, right? But that's how they get you from the very beginning. And I've been able to be open-minded enough to consume a lot of the literature and research that I've been able to without, like, I still believe in God. I still consider myself a Christian. But when somebody comes at you, for example, me as a Christian, when people come at me like, oh, you're to this or to that, I brush it off. And the reason I brush it off is because there's 45,000 different denominations of Christianity. Well, you pissed off a couple thousand, that's fine. As long as you accept Jesus in your heart and you believe it, and I'm not saying like to push this on anybody, but if you believe your faith, whatever it may be, yourself, that's all that matters. Shouldn't matter what other people are trying to do. It shouldn't matter you trying to convince others of your thing. As long as you believe it and it's true to you, that's good enough. And people spend too much time trying to push their beliefs on other people. And that's why I started my entire podcast career, I guess, I don't know, whatever this is, to begin with. Like, I didn't like ideas being forced on me. So therefore, I want to talk about these things one-on-one, right? One-on-one, I want to talk to people, learn from them, and have a conversation. An interesting conversation. Not a boring one either, because nobody wants to hear a boring conversation. That's just so mix it in with some dick jokes or nipple jokes, which some people like, some people don't. Who cares? But point being that I was told not to look into these topics, and I've been able to really navigate this realm. And yeah, I had a heavy Gnostic influence. I did. Alchemy is Gnostic. And one of my favorite Gnostic episodes that I ever did was with the number 9, the Gnostic Worldview with Lawrence Caruana. And that particular episode, shout out to Lawrence, he has a very, very an amazing presentation on YouTube. I believe it's called that, the Gnostic Worldview, Lawrence Caruana, Caruana. And I've watched that presentation lecture. It's like a 2-hour lecture. I think I've watched that thing, not even exaggerating, like 10 times. Because every time I listen to it, I extract something new. And so the Gnostic Worldview, one of my favorite episodes, and I'm picking episodes here. I'm not saying that these were my favorite guests or anything like that. These are episodes that stood out to me. Not saying the others didn't stand out to me for any recent guests or anything like that. These are the ones that I feel made an impact on me and people should check out. But check out all my stuff. Every single, I don't have one favorite episode, and it's not even a Juan podcast episode. But that Gnostic Worldview, we really break down Gnosticism, and Lawrence just does, he's very poetic in the way he's able to explain these things, and he's written a few books, so you can check out that, and check out that lecture. It's really amazing. Another one of my favorite episodes, number 11, Enigmas of the Ancient World with Luke Williamson, which is one of my close friends. I consider him a friend, close friends. since I started my journey. He's been on the podcast numerous times, and we talk a lot about ancient Egypt. He has done various documentaries, and this was the first episode we ever got together to talk about it. And from there, I mean, we've had hours and hours of conversation on air, off air. And number 11, that was one of my favorite ones, because I went from Gnosticism to like ancient technology. I was in that little niche for a little while. And yeah, so check that one out, episode 11. Number 18, this is actually one of my most played episodes. And I think in like 20 something, it was like the most downloaded episode. It's episode 18, Lost Books of the Bible, Enoch, Fallen Angels, the Nephilim, and the Watchers with the Dr. Lumpkin. And he's actually going to be coming on soon to talk again about something else that I've never even heard about until I forgot what I was doing. I think I texted him the other day. And yeah, no, we had an interaction on social media, and then he had texted me, and we talked on the phone. He's going to be coming on here soon to talk about something I had never even heard about. But episode 18, Dr. Lumpkin is a specialist in apocryphal texts, and he also has written this dictionary that I have over here, the Yellow Dictionary. That's an entire encyclopedia of apocryphal texts. So they're all there, the books of Enoch, Book of Jubilees, all of them, Gospel of Judas, all these books are in this one here. And he's written a bunch of books. And this was when I was getting into the idea of fallen angels, Nephilim, which I wasn't taught that when I was growing up. All the cool stuff that is in the Bible, I wasn't taught about any of it. So mind you, as pretty much a grown-ass man that I started my podcast, I was 23 or 24, however old I was. I'm about to be 30 next week. When I started it, I might have been a little bit older, maybe 25. Who knows? Because it's been 5 years. And when I'm learning about this, and it's still pretty much new to me. And I always had a whole thing for history and cryptids and UFOs, but when I discovered podcasting, and this is why I really do my show the way I do, it's because when I discovered podcasting, which the first podcast was Joe Rogan, and I started listening, I was like, wait, I can just pop this in while I'm at work or wherever and learn about stuff. Mind you, it's Rogan, right? You're not really learning anything on Rogan. Not anymore, at least. Maybe back then with his older episodes, there was interesting episodes on there that was like, you can actually extract knowledge. So that opened up an entire door for me, and that's what inspired me. Yeah, you learn about Tinfoil Hat, shout out to Sam Tripoli, and you learn about other shows. And when I started going down that, I wanted to learn about other things. I wanted to learn about, right, certain esoteric topics that I wasn't finding in all these other podcasts. And that's what inspired me to actually model my show after that, to talk about things that aren't, the less they're talked about, the better it is for me. Because I don't want to follow the crowd. I don't want to follow and talk about stuff that people have already been talking about. But I understand that part too, because you want to stay relevant. And a lot of the topics that I cover can be heavy for a lot of people, because it's heavy stuff, it's dense stuff, it's a lot of things. That's why when I started doing the shorts, I don't know if people have noticed, I've been putting out a lot of shorts. I have Joel Thomas doing those shorts for me, and I was not I hate short format content, because a lot of the things that we cover have extensive histories, and you have to cater to people whose attention spans are seconds long. So how are you able to cram the entire history of XYZ in a 1 minute clip or a 1.5 minute clip? But Joel, thank you, Joel, for pushing me out of my comfort zone. He's like, no, dude, if you want to grow the socials, then we got to cater to right? The people who aren't into this sort of stuff. And maybe every now and again hit them with something heavy to keep them hooked. But that's why I've been doing a lot of like more basic breakdowns, straight to the point, digestible, to see if we're able to tap into another market, I guess. Right. Look, 16 minutes in, and I'm sure there's some people who don't even make it this far because their attention span is just way too short. So I've been doing that a lot, and thank you to Joel for that. But I was learning all these different concepts and reading about these things as a grown man, pretty much, and really doing deeper dives. And then I started getting into psychedelics. So number 20, this episode was wild to me because DMT entity, psychedelic journeys and other dimensions with Luke Williamson. Luke is a guy who has done various ayahuasca ceremonies and various forms of DMT, and he has seen things on the other side, including his own death. And I think it was like his death like 20 different ways. He essentially lived 20 different lifetimes or something like that in this episode. And I remember the intro to the episode was him talking about seeing himself die multiple times, which to me was crazy because it's like, can you imagine seeing yourself die? Like how wild that must be, like how crazy that probably is. And that's when I started experimenting with psychedelics as well, myself. And I did a whole thing on that. Then fast forward a little bit, episode 46. I forgot the title of that episode, but that was December of 2020. And I took a break from December of 2020 to July 2021. And the reason for that being was my dad had a heart attack. My dad died four times, right? And thank God he's good now, but I had to step up and do certain things. So I had to kind of neglect, real life kicked in, and I had to neglect some things for a while. But that craving was always still there. And I was still interacting with people in the community and talking to people, but I did take a break for, what is that, 6 months? 5-6 months, something like that. And he died four times, my dad. He had four heart attacks, like one back-to-back. They were trying to resuscitate him for 45 minutes. And I remember when he first came back, we thought he was going to be brain dead, right? Because that's the first thing that people worry about when they have somebody's loved one has a heart attack. And but thank God he's good. And I remember asking him the first thing that came to mind, me being me, because there's not a spiritual bone in my dad's body, was, so what was it like? When he was coherent enough to talk to me, because there was a period in time where we thought he was gone, but it was the medication that they were giving him. And so when I asked him, I go, hey, dude, what was it like? What was the other side like? Because when I was 7 years old, I had a, I don't know if I'd call it a near-death experience, but they said if I would have been 1 hour later, I would have been dead. My appendix ruptured. Not appendicitis. It went from appendicitis to a ruptured appendix. Like my appendix was ruptured. It was opening. I was literally, there was shit in my body, like literally from my intestine into my bloodstream. I was going septic. And if I would have been 1 hour later, my parents would have taken me 1 hour later for that stomach ache that I could, it was an entire pain through your entire body. If I would have been 1 hour later, I was a 7 year old boy, there wouldn't be a Juan on Juan, right? So that's kind of sort of my near death. I was near death, but it's not like one of these where you see your life flash before your eyes. And maybe I did, and I don't remember. Who knows? But that happened to me when I was seven. And so when I asked my dad, go, what it feel like? What was that other side like? He straight up told me, I didn't see anything. I don't remember anything. It was nothing. It was nothingness. It was blackness. And I've heard this before on my show where people go, you know, once you pass on, it's like nothingness. It is nothing. Now, maybe It was that he wasn't attuned to the frequency that he needed to be attuned to. And it wasn't his time. Who knows what it could have been. But he stated he didn't see anything. Because me being me, having started all this and being into the esoteric, and I don't really talk about this stuff with my family because, number one, it's heretical in a certain way. I think my aunt listens to my show. She's like, your grandma would disown you. I go, yeah, I know. But I was shielded from all this stuff growing up. So it's like opening up the door to a candy store with a kid, right? Telling him, yeah, now go run free. And so I'm learning about all these cosmologies and all these different mythologies and reading all these books and going, wow, this is really bizarre. This has existed ever, you know, for forever now. And I'm just now hearing about it. So I was intrigued but that was the first question I asked my dad when he came back. And he said nothing, which is wild to me, right? Because I don't know how many people you would know that died four times, quite literally coded. And if they would have waited if the doctor would have said, you know, they were resuscitating him for like 40, I want to say it was 47 minutes, which would be weird, but it was like 45 or 46 minutes. And if the doctor would have been like, you know what, he's gone, wrap it up, that's it, you know. So I took a break because of all that, and I finally came back, started podcasting again, episode number 47, right after that. That was the first episode I put out. Another one of these interesting episodes I did was 66, The Internet is Dead, Mandela Effect and Exotericism with Chris Prosser from Mensa Podcast. Unfortunately, he doesn't do the podcast anymore, but shout out to Chris. He's still one of the boys from Illuminati Confirmed. We did that show for a little while, and that was an interesting one, talking about The Internet is Dead. And it was like me kind of finding my footing. So I think episode number 47, 48, 49, that's when I really started to hunker down on my subject material and started to figure out a system where I was able to produce episodes, have a backlog, and do the research all at the same time, which is the same system that I use now. Okay. I just obviously have a lot more to build on with the knowledge base that I have now because of all the stuff that I've ingested. And I've done way more than 200 episodes, right? This is the 200th episode, which is a big milestone for a lot of people, because a lot of people don't get past the, what is it, 8th episode, 10th episode, whatever it is, whatever statistic it is that people don't get past. And I think that 47, 48, 49 was me really hunkering down and finding my niche. And so 66, 69, of course, and I think I did this on purpose. 69 was the first Paranoid American episode I did with him. So shout out to Paranoid American. And after that, we started a cult book club where I found out he was a Freemason, all that stuff. So imagine me doing a podcast with the enemy, right? And again, I don't judge anybody for anything. I judge character, right? This is what I tell everybody. I judge people's character. If you're a good person, we're good. If you treat me well, I treat you well. I don't care if you're into Satanism. I don't care if you're into Christianity. I don't care if you're whatever you're into. As long as you respect me, my boundaries, and don't mess with kids, do whatever you want, right? So number 69 was, and what I was saying earlier, I've done more than 200 episodes collectively. How a lot of us have, you know, with other spinoff shows that we've done, guest appearances, exclusive episodes, all that stuff. But 200 episodes for one show, again, is an achievement for me and an achievement for a lot of people. And 200 episodes is not something to take lightly. That's 200 episodes of at least 90 minutes of my voice. Somebody could definitely, like Rogan, how many episodes does Rogan have? They could definitely clone 100% like your entire personality. Like they can make a homunculus of me, if there's not one running around already. But anyway, 69, first Paranoid American episode. I don't know what I named it. I don't care. because I'm not going to promote Paranormal. I'm not going to give him a platform to. Anyways, check out Paranormal America and ParanormalAmerican.com. And so episode 80 is one of my favorite episodes ever. And the first time I ever podcasted with, I was podcasting with Romy, homie Romy, and Slick Dissident. This is the first episode I ever did with Slick Dissident. I forgot what year this was. I think this was 21 or something. 20 or 21. No, it was 21. And yeah, because after the 46 was all 21. So this is episode 80, and we talked about the Transformers and the Full Metal Alchemist whole thing that I love with the territories and all that. And I that episode, when I heard it back, made me realize that I need to tone down on the language. So if you go to check out any of these episodes in the backlog, mind you, I use a lot of bad words, okay? And this episode 80, when I heard it back, I was like, yo, I gotta tone it down. I really do, because this is what I tell people, and I'm not telling people what they should do with their shows or not. But once you start to use foul language, you're eliminating 50% of your audience. Because people tell me nowadays that they listen to me with their kids, which I wouldn't listen to me with my kids. So for somebody to tell me that they'll listen to me with their kids is bizarre to me. But another thing that really brought it into, and this was quite after episode 80, what really brought it into perspective was when we had somebody with a bookstore reach out. No, it wasn't Marco Longo and Professor Longo, because we didn't know them at this time. They reached out and they're like, hey, we had to pull you guys from playing you in my bookstore because you guys were getting, I think I was cracking jokes on nipples and stuff like that. I was doing something stupid, but we were using foul language, and he was like, I had to pull you guys. So think about that. Think about all the people that could have potentially interacted with our episode. Like, yo, I really like what these guys are talking about. Who is that? But it got turned off, and that got cut because we decided to use certain language. You can still convey your message without inserting. Sometimes you can't help it. That's just the way it is. But if you can help it, then don't use it. And that's just a tip from me that I've learned, because, again, now I've opened up that door where that person would have kept us playing in that store. And that's why we released these. The censored episodes aren't so much because censorship is really bad, because we all know that. So if you're not following me on, if you're already following me on YouTube, and if you're not, go follow me. And also follow me on Rumble, Rockfin, Odyssey, everywhere else. Because if we get shut down on one platform, you know, we have other backups. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. I'm uploading across all platforms. Also follow me on X. And sometimes I'll do live streams that are exclusive to certain platforms that never make it to the RSS feed or never make it to YouTube because it's too controversial or too... Because sometimes you don't even have to use dirty language for a subject to get pulled. It could be the nature of the subject, okay? Without even getting grotesque or whatever. It's just the nature of that is sensitive, and it'll get you pulled for whatever reason. So make sure to follow the show on all social media platforms, TJOJP.com. Also, make sure to check out Chosen Juan Issue 2 Kickstarter, ChosenJuan.com. It is live now. It launched on 3/22. Why 3/22, Juan? Because I can, right? Because I want to. You're not my dad, and you don't tell me what to do. So next episode, we have 87, where I talked about my near-death experience for the first time. And throughout the years, I've shared things personal in personal life, and I haven't. Like, there's a lot of things people don't know about me because, well, number one, I didn't know I was gonna get this far, to be 100% with you. And that was one of the things that made me want to keep going and doing my show, because I could hear my dad's voice echoing in the background. You never finish anything. You leave things always halfway. Like, you need to stick to something and be good at it. And this is one of the things that my dad's always taught me that I've applied in everything that I do. including podcasting, and that is, if you're going to do something, if you're going to be a toilet bowl cleaner, if you're going to be a carpet vacuumer, carpet cleaner, whatever, and take any simple job that you think, oh, that's simple, but do your job well. Be the best that you can be in that thing, regardless if you're just doing it to do it. I mean, a job is different, but you get the point. Be good at whatever you do, because no one remember, if you ain't first, you're last, that type of thing. But that's what's really pushed me to, there's a lot of shows that talk about what I talk about sometimes, but there's a lot of shows on conspiracies and the occult and the esoteric. What are you doing to set yours apart? Are you talking about something different? Do you have a little bit different style? You know, what are you doing? And I think I do a little bit of everything here on this channel, where I do my own style. I go deeper, I go above and beyond deeper. And it's gotten to the point where we're going straight to sources and reading straight from the source to extract that meaning for our own selves. Because again, part of this theme was of being handed down.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
ChosenOne.com. Go visit ChosenOne.com. It's easy to remember if you just sing along. ChosenOne.com. Go visit ChosenOne.com. The chosen one. Yes, he is the chosen one. He's got his own comic, and now he's got his own song. 'Cause he's the chosen one. Yes, he is the chosen one. Go buy a copy at ChosenOne.com. ChosenOne.com. Go visit ChosenOne.com. It's easy to remember if you just sing along. ChosenOne.com. Go visit ChosenOne.com.
Material that's already been digested for you. That's what I grew up with. I grew up with material that was being already digested for me and then given to me. And it's like, this is how you're going to interpret this. Oh, but no. What'd you say? That you love Satan? Because you're questioning? It's like, no, I didn't say that. No. That's what I'm hearing. And that's what I'm. That's how some people react in the comments. Like, well, did you Satan worshiper? Anyways, the theme of being handed religion nowadays is a brokered experience, right? It's all about the establishment. It's all about the people, the business model of the business model of church. And that's what I don't subscribe to. Like I said earlier, if you accept Jesus Christ in your heart and you love him and you believe in him and you've given your life up to him, that's all that should matter. It shouldn't matter if I go to a church. It shouldn't matter. Like, obviously you need to follow the doctrines of what it is in your religion, but there's 45,000 different ones. So which one am I supposed, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, oh, non-denominational. That's a denomination. it's just the way it works. So keep that in mind. 87 talked about my near-death experience. 92, the copial cipher with an eye surgeon. I talked about a secret society of optometrists with an optometrist. Episode 92. So check that out. And it was this cipher, this book that took 250 years and an AI to crack the code. And they still didn't crack it 100% because some of the names, they couldn't figure out what it was. It could mean anything. So that's episode 92. One of my favorites too, right? That's pretty interesting. And he really breaks down a whole bunch of interesting concepts, how, I don't want to butcher it, but the retina is the same material as your pineal gland. So it's like, oh, what, you know, DMT and all that stuff, third eye. Number 94, cult origins of Florida. And this is when I start to dip my toes into Florida history and really start to go above and beyond with the research in Florida and putting all the pieces together. I always knew that there was something here, just didn't know what. And so I started to really decipher it and process it and talk more about it. That was the first time I ever did that. I think that was with homie Romy and a whole bunch of different people. I think Slick was on there too. Then once I started doing that, in process for doing research on Florida, I stumbled across a guy you might know that a lot of people might know now, and that's Narco Longo. All right. Episode 104. Longo's first ever podcast interview. That's right. On the Juana Juan podcast. Episode 104. I don't know what year that was, but that's the first time I ever talked to him. First time he ever made an appearance. And I think he had like 900 subscribers, something like that. Like he was fresh off the, I say fresh off the boat, but fresh out the vessel, the hamunk vessel, the alchemical vessel, Narco Longo. That was the first episode we did, and I forgot what we talked about, but it was good. Go check it out. Then we have episode 106. That was my first and only episode in virtual reality. And that episode was one I've talked about it before on the show, and I've shown footage from it, but it's a virtual mystery school. And I talked to the founder of that virtual mystery school. He is an occultist. I forgot which line he does, but he walked us through his whole history, and then we toured the entire virtual reality mystery school. I've gone to some of the meetings and people talk, but there is a whole community of people who do magical practices in VR. And this is one of the places at the very end of the virtual mystery school. They have an entire Golden Dawn altar where they do ceremonies and stuff like that. So I went in there, I interviewed him, and then he walked us through the library and all these different places inside the mystery school. Pretty cool. You can check that out also on, if you have VR chat, you can go search out virtual mystery school and go and look at yourself. Tarot Reading Frog, shout out to him. Check out his YouTube, all that stuff. And they do lectures, they do presentations, they do all kinds of stuff there. Episode 106, I thought it was cool. I was Morpheus interviewing a frog. And for those that say, no, you weren't a Morpheus. Yes, I was. I was Morpheus interviewing a freaking frog. Okay. So we have episode, let's jump a little bit. Episode 114. This was a big episode. I think we had Paranoid American, Slick Dissident. I forgot who else was on there, but it was Werewolves, Cannibalism, Jeffrey Dahmer. It was when one of the Dahmer documentaries or movies had come out, the series, I think it was. And that episode was crazy. I think we talked about the Book of Werewolves and some other craziness. It was wild. I know it was a really fun time because I remember it was a live stream. So check that out, 114. And also people listening on YouTube, I appreciate you listening on YouTube, but some episodes are missing from the backlog because some are, your RSS feed is uncensored. They can deplatform you, but they can't take away the RSS feed. So if you're on YouTube, you might not be able to find some of these episodes because they've been pulled down. I know for a fact I've had at least 5 episodes pulled down, or I've taken them down just before they got hit with whatever. So just keep that in mind. If you're going to go back into the backlog, check it out on the RSS feed. Go to my website. Down at the bottom of my website, there's a player, or you can subscribe to my RSS feed. It's on Spotify. It's on Google Podcasts. Are doing away with that on April 1st. And they're going to YouTube Music now. So any podcast platform. And also the people who are members on YouTube, you're not going to get the backlog of like 200 episodes that are only found on Patreon. So just keep that in mind. If you want more, for the same amount of money, you get like 250 more episodes if you sign up for the Patreon. Just saying. It's there. But 114, 116, Longo Bros. We did an episode live, IRL. It was the first time I ever met Longo. Pretty sure it was the first time I ever met Longo in person. So that was 116. Then we had 121, Full Metal Alchemist Tarot episode with Slick Dissident and Mario from Symbolic Study. Shout out to them. My favorite tarot card, because it has to do with alchemy. And throughout this entire list of episodes, like through this entire journey, I'd always looked into alchemy periodically. I'd check in on alchemy every now and again. And it wasn't making sense to me. It wasn't. I wanted to understand. The more I looked at it, and I still don't think I understand it. That's just the reality of things. But I was looking at the subject and I couldn't understand it. And I wanted to, because I thought it was really dope. Like, oh, there's more here than what I'm reading into. And I think it was around this time, Full Metal Alchemist, where I started to really peel apart the homunculus and all that and start to dive deep into what alchemy is. And I have some sort of an understanding, but not 100%. So 121, Full Metal Alchemist, we go hard on the paint on that episode. One of my favorites. Number 127, my episode with Jay Widener and the Cross of Hende. And he wrote this, The Great Cross of Hende. I think it was The Mysteries of the End of the World and Alchemy or something like that. Eschatology and Alchemy, which some people like, oh, what does alchemy have to do with the end of the world? It's like, oh, it's very tied in there. I mean, it quite literally is about bringing forth the destruction of a reality, of bringing forth the apocalypse. That's what John Dee and the angels and Edward Kelly were talking about, quite literally bringing forth the end times through the use of literature, through the use of Enochian, through the use of alchemy, right? So Jay Widener, he wrote a book with Vincent Bridges, and Vincent Bridges is one of my favorite authors / esotericist / occultist, I guess. And he did a deep, he really talks a lot about John Dee, Prague. He's an esotericist, was an esotericist, and Edward Kelly. I would have loved to talk to him. And he wrote about the Ophanim and the language. And I talked about, and I'm going to be talking about this on episode 201. So if you guys are listening to this, I'm actually recording this episode after 201, and I talked about some of this stuff in that episode. So that's with Ani, so shout out to Ani. But yeah, we're kind of skipping time right now. We're doing time alchemy, just going in and out. And so yeah, you'll hear about that in the next episode, which was a really great episode. We went all over the place. I felt like we covered everything and nothing all at once, and it was just great. Anyways, the Jay Widener, Vincent Bridges, RIP, and he really takes it above and beyond when it comes to Enochian and breaks it down in a scientific way. And he links it to our DNA, links it to plasma and manipulation of reality through the use of this Enochian alphabet. And I think it's really important, because that's what was being implied by these angels. And again, you could read it for yourself. You can find the copies of the journals and read them for yourself and interpret them for yourself to see what you pull from that. But there's a reason why it's the basis of a lot of these occult circles, Golden Dawn, Crowley, and everybody else with Typhonian, OTO, all that stuff, right? Boom. So Jay Widener, I really love that episode. He wrote this book about the Great Cross of Hendai, and they tie in Fulcanelli, and they tie in all these other different alchemical things, and it's really great. And every time I pick that book up, I learned something new. So I'm probably going to have Jay on again to talk about more about his work and that book, because it's one of my favorites. So I always recommend everybody read that book. Let me find the name of that book right now so people can... Jay Widener. I like telling people to read about it, but it's like, what's the name? So the name is Mysteries of the Great Cross of Hendai, Alchemy and the End of Time by Jay Widener and Vincent Bridges. Check it out. It's fire. car. So fast forward a little bit, 143. And I think it was just the easiness of this conversation. And Justin's a really nice guy. Shout out to the guys for the Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Justin is a very nice guy. And we talked for 3 hours, I think this episode was. But it felt like an hour had gone by. And we talked about a whole bunch of different things, specifically the organic UFOs, which he does some research into. The concept that these UFOs, although they're fake and gay, they might also be some sort of animal that exists in the atmosphere. And the background that Justin has is that he's a biologist. So he knows a lot about animals, a lot. And we get into a whole bunch of stuff. So that was one of my favorite, 143. Then we have 144, the Descartes Dilemma. Decoding Gabriel Daniel and the Black Homunculi, I think I named it. And 144 is based off of one of my favorite all-time episodes, which is not even a Juan on Juan podcast episode. It's the Occult Book Club number. Man, I should have freaking wrote these down, the extracurricular episodes. But the Occult Book Club on the Voyage to the World of Cartier. The Occult Book Club number 10, published in February of 2023. So February 2, 2023. Is there a 322 in there? Probably. But that was one of my favorite all-time episodes because it really tied in a lot of things together for me. Historically, pseudo-historically, I guess, because, I mean, technically the book is a fictional story, but when you start to piece it all together, it's like, damn, it makes a lot of sense. And it talks about how Descartes had essentially found out a way to project his consciousness into outer space and travel to other realms. Now, obviously, that might be occulted and might be code for something else, but it was one of my favorite episodes. And we did a decode, a follow-up episode, because and this subject still comes up even till this day on that one episode. And we did a 144 with Paranoid American and Slick Dissident as a follow-up episode to talk about it more and develop the ideas and concepts. And it's one of my favorite topics and episodes. So check that out. Episode 153, Global Memory Theater. Global, I know it's going to piss people off, but that's when I decided to really start doing more solo stuff, because throughout this entire thing, I had always been doing guests, and I figured I'd try more solo stuff, presentations, and this, I really get into the idea of the global grid, ley lines, dragon lines, telluric currents, the parallels being used as some sort of magical grid, because John Dee, one of my favorite topics, is involved in cartography. And there's the idea that the latitude-longitude system could have been or is a sort of magical talismanic grid in some sort of way. And I've been meaning to record that episode. I have the receipts for that, but I just haven't gotten around to it. The World Gate Experiments with Stacy Brown. And that was one of my favorite episodes. Shout out to him. He was talking to us about this entire weird, crazy experiment that they did where they used sounds and all this different equipment at the Conjuring House trying to open up a portal. Now, one of the craziest episodes. I think he's also gone on the confessionals and talked about it after the fact from my episode. And they get into more detail there, but he just walked us through the entire, it was one of the more entertaining stories I've heard on the podcast. And it really captivated my attention. That's why it's on this list. So 155, check that out with Stacy Brown. And We have episode 165, which was actually the most played episode of 2023. And that was with Dave from the Proto Evangelium. So let me make sure I'm saying that right. Proto Evangelium. You can check him out. The Proto Evangelium and the Days of Noah. He hasn't posted in a little bit. I'll reach out to him and see if he's doing all right. His last video was 10 months ago, but this dude does like deep dives. This dude is, I don't know how he finds the time, but he's going deep, real deep. I mean, it's, again, it's from a Christian perspective, but he's going in and he's tying it to the occult, Crowley, like all this stuff. I've learned a lot from him. This is one of the channels that I started listening to. I listened to it for like 2 years, and I had tried to reach out to him like for a while and could never connect with him. And then one day I was able to connect with him and I had him on. This was actually the most played episode in 2023, according to, it's one of my most played episodes on here on YouTube, and according to the RSS feed, it was one of the most played and most shared. So that's pretty crazy. So shout out to Dave, and I'll have him back on again. Number 168, Black Hoodie Alchemy. I had him on. Shout out to him. And we talked about alchemy and philosophy. And he presented this really interesting idea of the ghost limb theory. And that stuck with me. There's these things that always stick with me throughout all these episodes. And yeah, go check that out. 168. Had 171. And that's what was with Steve A. Ross, where we talked about how he has these downloads and he says that he got led to his library, his huge library, which I haven't gone. He invited me. It's in Arizona, which, so if I go, I'm going to go visit Donut while I'm out there. And he got led to this by following these downloads. He was receiving phone calls and just intuition, just following him and leading him until he inherited this entire huge collection. And it was a huge collection, but he also got the chance to work with Manly P. Hall, scanning Manly P. Hall's manuscripts. He got to meet him. And got to, I guess, build a relationship and a friendship with him. And Steve is a super, super sweet guy. Super nice guy. And I really enjoyed our conversation. We talked about dreams, dream interpretation. And he's written a few books. So episode 171. This is more recent now. 173, The Theatrum Chemicum. I did a translation of Gerard Dorn from that. I learned a ton. And that was a commentary on the book of Genesis. And this is when I'm at this point balls deep in alchemy. I had already done research on the homunculus. I've been on tinfoil hat. I've been on like all this stuff leading up to this point, 173, and I'm just going deeper and deeper. And I don't have any plans on stopping anytime soon, but who knows? Who knows, right? I might pivot and do something else. Who knows? 173, Theatrum Chemicum. I talk about the Philosopher's Stone, Biblical Alchemy, the Book of Genesis, all that good stuff. One of my favorite episodes. 186, my first call-in show, which the people probably watching now have heard this show. It's not too long ago, but my first call-in show, I talk about homunculus. I talk about all the craziness that the homunculites or the Juananites or the whatever they refer to themselves as, this entity that has grown, my homunculi, right? Where the chat gets weird sometimes. And if you're not being a part of the chat when it's going on, I've heard it's the best chat on YouTube. That's just what I've heard, all right? So when I check it out, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure to go follow the show on all social media platforms. Make sure to sign up for the Kickstarter. ChosenJuan.com. TJOJP.com, all that good stuff. Homunculus Owner's Manual. Chosen One comic, Occultus Mundi, all that. Make sure to check it out. So, 186, 190, Fragment of Eden. Another episode that I did with Joel Thomas. That I remember that day we were going to talk about cryptids, and we didn't talk about any of the stuff that we said we were going to talk about. And we got into all this other extracurricular stuff, and he brought up some really interesting concepts. And I love episodes like that because they connect a lot of dots for me. And when you're reading so much, you can only take so many ideas from people and their work. So when you start to form your own, that's important because you're adding. You're not just taking somebody else's stuff and regurgitating it and repeating it. You're adding value to a field or whatever it may be. And so 190 was one of those ones. What was the name of that episode again? 190. The Nephilim technology, Fragments of Eden, and Biblical entities. So the idea that these texts are able to manifest things into our reality, metaphorically, literally, who knows? Like, I love that. That has to do with my research on PKD, William Burroughs, and all these other guys. I really love that. And those subjects are, again, it's more philosophical, but there's also entire PhDs that dedicate their life to talking about that one thing. So for those that want to say like, oh, you go so deep on stuff they have no proof for, it's like, well, it's a whole field of study. So there's that, right? There's people studying and dedicating their entire lives to studying that one phenomenon, whatever it may be. So just keep that in mind. No, 196, I did an episode with a William Burroughs esotericist. Shout out to Tommy. He talked to us about these grammatical entities, William Burroughs' work, the idea of the cut-up method as a form of divination, transporting your consciousness to other realms through the use of writing, all that, which again ties into John Dee, Edward Kelly, like the use of alphabets to manifest reality. That's the whole thing with the Tetragrammaton. God spoke reality into existence. There's something to grammar or grimoire that is very magical. And I've been led here, 196, I mean, that was not too long ago, but I've been led here through all these years of study and research and whatever. I mean, doing episodes, talking to people, like this is all coming together. And that's where I'm at now as far as like, I don't even know where I'm at with my research, but I'm somewhere. I'll go somewhere with it. Who knows? But 196, I really enjoyed that episode. Got into Burroughs for a little bit. It's not my favorite, but like Burroughs isn't my favorite person, but his material is really interesting, which I don't like the fact that it is, but it is. So episode 198. And I think I've talked about this on Patreon episodes. I'm sure I have. So for those that have already heard it, please bear with me. And I talked about it on the next episode, 201. But it was the reason I talked about it is because I had already been thinking about it for this episode. And that's I did an episode with Weston Cage. For those that don't know, yes, that is Nicolas Cage, Cage's son. For those that don't know, I am a Nick Cage fan. Now, for those watching the video, they could probably tell I'm a Nick Cage fan. I don't know if it's obvious or not, but you know, we're here. And the reason I did the episode, aside from the fact that I find Weston's work very interesting, and I think he's a super nice guy, and I love what he's doing. He's a Cage. But there was something more, I guess, mystical or magical to it. And there's some things I can't talk about right now, not yet, that I will eventually be able to talk about, that's super interesting, okay? And the reason why that episode was weird to me, and not weird in a bad way, but synchronistic to me, let's use that word, because it was a synchronicity, was because, and nobody else knows this, again, you're going to hear this on 301, on 201, I'm sorry. But I started a show with my childhood friend, Daniel. I've known him for like 15, 20 years, a long time. And we started a show that we named The Church of Cage. Now, The Church of Cage podcast is the number one Nick Cage podcast in the world. It's not out yet, though. Not out. But it is the number one. And the same night that we recorded our first, and I got the receipts for this. Like, this, I'm not even making this up. This is how bizarre it was. Like, this is how weird it was. But that same night that I recorded the first episode, the intro episode with Daniel, Weston followed me back on Instagram. Back. Because throughout this entire thing, or on episode like 50 or something or other, I was following Weston on Instagram. And I'd retweet, I'd republish his stuff, his stories, stuff like that. And I'd do it because, again, he's Nick Cage's son. Like, it's awesome, right? He's related to the GOAT. I'd repost his stuff, like, you know, not in a disrespectful way or making fun of him, but I just repost his stuff, like, yo, look at this Nordic god or whatever it was, like, just, you know, stuff like that. I'm sure you never saw it. And if you're listening now, Weston, again, really appreciate you coming on, bro. I had a lot of fun. And can't wait to do it again. But it was bizarre because that same night that we finished our episode, me and my friend Daniel, he follows me back. And there's other stuff that I can't reveal just yet, which I will in time. But I can say with confidence that I did manifest that conversation. I did manifest that episode. And I thought it was a freaking great episode. I mean, I've had people from all over the world reach out to me, tell me they listened to the episode, that they really enjoyed it. They enjoyed Weston on. So I got really good feedback. I mean, people can check it out. It was 198. I'm sure if you're listening to this, I'm sure you've heard it. But there was more to that episode. It wasn't just that, oh, look, he's got Nick Cage's son on. It wasn't even about that. It's not even, it wasn't about that to begin with. But you guys will know soon enough what it was actually about. But it was very synchronistic, very magical, very mystical. So take this as a inspiration, I guess. If I can get within one person away, one degree of separation from Nick Cage, then anything is possible in this dimension, okay? Anything. If I'm able to sit on my couch after doing this episode with Nick Cage's son, Weston Cage, and look over at my wife and go, I think I just did an episode with Nick Cage's son, after she sat and has watched numerous Nick Cage movies with me, you can do anything you set your mind to, okay? All the shows that I wanted to go on when I first started this, people who I looked up to in my realm and my career of podcasting, as far as research goes or whatever it may be, I've been on those shows. You know, I've talked to those people, and I've even heard some of those people say how much they admire my work and how much they've learned from me. So if I'm able to do that, me, just some regular guy who just reads a lot and does research, essentially what it is, if I'm able to do that, whatever you do, like, anyone who tells me I want to start a podcast but I don't have time, bullshit. Like, you'll make time for it. You gotta start. You gotta do it. You gotta take that first step, because if you don't start it, you're not gonna do it. And you're just gonna keep putting up more excuses. So this has been episode number 200. The official 200th episode of the Juan on Juan podcast. Mind you, I have various shows. I've done various shows throughout the year. I will probably continue to do various shows throughout the years to come. And I want to say thank you to the people who have supported me. I want to say thank you to the people who have hated on me. I want to say thank you to the people who have wished ill upon me and for my unsuccess and all that stuff. All those people too. I really appreciate you. God loves you. I love you. And I want to thank first and foremost the people who actually support me and listen and tune in every single week. And I want to thank my wife for putting up with all this BS, for the times that I've been like, I'll be out in an hour, and it's actually turns into 3 or 4 or 5 and a half, pushing on 6, right? So shout out to her, because without her, I wouldn't be able to do this. But yeah, if you want to call in 407-476-4606. Let me know what you think. Go check out these other episodes: 2, 9, 11, 18, 20, 46, 66, 69, 80, 87, 92. Go check them all out. All of them. Because they're all great. I think all my episodes are awesome. I think my podcast is awesome. I think I'm fucking great. And having allergies right now. So, yeah, that was it. Make sure to check out The Chosen Juan. ChosenJuan.com. Make sure to sign up. That already launched when you're hearing this. 322. That'll be running for a month. Check out the tiers on that. Also, what else? TJLJP.com for everything. Homunculus Honus Manual, Cultus Mundi, Chosen Juan Comic Book, Issue 1. Also, patreon.com/TheJuanOnJuan Podcast if you want to help me grift. Give me your money. If you want to send me money just because, I got a PayPal, got Cash App, all that good stuff. Links down in the description. And see you in another 200 episodes. I don't know. Anyways, have a good one. Love you all. Catch you on the next one.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.